Noon. It's Monday, April 11, 2005. We're going to open the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development, Subcommittee of Ways and Means. Today we are going to do, I guess, public hearing and then possible work session on House Bill 5048. Is that the work session on House Bill 5048 and a supplemental budget. I'm going to turn to Susie Jordan, our Legislative Fiscal Officer, to explain what's to occur.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I just first want to explain some materials that you have at your places. One is a letter from the Hood River Distilleries. They wanted to enter that into the record for your information, so I just wanted to make mention of that here. Second, you have a packet that is the work session documents from LFO, and paperclip to that you will find a memorandum that looks like this from LFO for their supplemental budget item, and a letter from the agency requesting an increase in expenditure limitations. And I'd like to start with that because the way we'll deal with it if the subcommittee approves it is to amend the agency's budget bill to increase that expenditure limitation. With your permission, I'll just go right to that. The agency has requested $222,000 increase in expenditure limitation for agents' compensation. That is the letter dated March 25th. The reason they need the increase is because they are exceeding their projections on revenue, and it will require an increase in expenditure limitation in order to pay the agents at the rate of 8.88% as agreed to by the legislature. So I am recommending that you approve that request. And if someone would like to make a motion, we can move on.
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendation to approve the expenditure limitation.
Any discussion? Any objection? And I'll pass.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now we'll move to my other memorandum, which is the recommended changes to the budget. The first item are the technical adjustments that you probably have already seen in other budgets, the first rate adjustment and the DAS assessment. In this budget, there is a total reduction of $168,619. $152,177 is for the adjustment in the PERS rate, and $16,442 is the adjustment in the DAS assessment. And that requires a motion to approve the technical adjustment.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we approve the technical adjustments as recommended by LFO.
Any discussion? Any opposition?
So moved.
The second technical adjustment is to convert the non-limited budget of $4.5 million to an expenditure limitation. This $4.5 million is to pay the bank card fees associated with the purchase at liquor stores. Non-limited expenditure categories have been used in the past for expenditures that cannot be avoided, stopped, or reduced by agency action, and bank card fees do not fall into this category, so I'm recommending this adjustment.
I hate it when that happens.
And we'll need a motion to approve this adjustment.
Since it's been our share, Mr. Chair. I mean,
Representative Lopakian moves. Any discussion? Any opposition? So moved.
Moving to the next page, these are the policy packages that the agency has requested. The first one is a package that would provide limitation to fund 4 full-time positions and 4 seasonal positions in their liquor distribution warehouse. I am recommending approval of that package with a reduction of $2,580 to reflect the reduction in the PERS rate.
Mr. Chair, do you want to do these one at a time or do them? We'll do them one at a time. Mr. Chair, I would move policy package 102 in accordance with the LFO recommendation, including the $2,580 reduction in the PERS rate.
Thank you. We have a motion. Any discussion? Any opposition? So moved.
The second item is a technical adjustment to adjust liquor sales revenue. With the approval of package 102, the agency expects an increase in revenue from $623,390,316 to $645,100,000. And I'm requesting a technical adjustment to acknowledge that increase and also an increase in the transfer to general fund by $5.7 million, transfer to cities by $2 million, and transfer to counties by $1 million, and another increase in transfer to administrative services to $1.4 million.
Mr. Chair, I would recommend approval of policy option package 801 as recommended by Legislative Fiscal Office.
We have a recommendation on policy package 801. Any discussion? Any opposition? So moved.
Package 157 is a package to provide an additional $2 million other funds for agents' compensation. This increase corresponds with the agency's projection of an increase in revenue by $23 million. Legislative Fiscal is recommending approval with an adjustment of an additional $2.2 million to reflect the increased revenue projections with approval of policy package 102. So the total increase in compensation for agents would be $4,317,180.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson moves policy option package 157 with the LFO stated adjustment.
We have a motion on policy package 157. Seeing any discussion?
I'd like to discuss my motion.
Yes, Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I have a question now. That includes the money for the agent's compensation, but did I hear a percentage increase?
No, Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, this would maintain the 8.88% that they are currently getting. It just acknowledges that they are projecting an increase in their total revenue, so the increase needs to go up to the $4
million. I see. So that means that there will not be a discussion at this time of any increase at all over the 8.8?
That's correct.
Yeah. Representative Richardson.
Mr. Chair, I guess when you're talking about the 8.88, I assume that that is the average amount since we have been provided with the actual commissions, and they go from something like 6% for the largest producers to almost 22% for very small producers. And so I guess we are dealing with an average.
That is correct.
Thank you. Follow up. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It seems as though when this budget comes up, this is one of the principal topics of conversation, or has been. And I think now might be an opportunity, with the Chair's permission, to discuss the inclusion of a budget note that directs the review of the current payment schedule for liquor agents. And if I understand the question correctly, or at least the way that it's been framed to me, there was a raise last time. There has been among the panel, and certainly we've been visited by folks about a possible raise this time, and then doing the budget note, a possible third raise. And absent that scenario, what we have laid out here is maintain it at 8.8 and have a very comprehensive discussion, and then come back in the next session based on the third-party independent review that I presume may generate, and this is my question, that third-party review may generate sufficient information to bring the question of compensation back before the legislature. And I guess I'm asking, is that your understanding of where the budget note is going?
That is my understanding. What I'll also share with the committee is I've had conversations with Associated Liquor Stores and also with independent liquor store operators, and my comment to them was, if they're looking to increase the agent fee and they can get the co-chairs to move on that issue, and if they can get the votes of this committee, then I will not stop that from occurring, but the work will belong to them to get that done.
Okay. Mr. Senator Chair, Berger. Could I have one more clarification, and that is what is meant by third party on the interim study? Is that a neutral group that would be doing that?
Mr. Chair, and Senator Berger and Senator Johnson, the budget note doesn't identify that it be a third party. That wasn't approved by the co-chairs. I think if a third-party independent review, which would be could be a consultant of some sort, I am assuming, the subcommittee could make a suggestion or a request of the co-chairs that they make that modification before it go to the full committee. But it doesn't preclude this budget note doesn't preclude the Liquor Control Commission from doing that on their own, if that is something that you would wanted to express a strong desire
in. Then I would say, Mr. Chair, just for the record, I'd like to say that I would certainly support some small increase at this time if they are able to work that through. Also, I would prefer that the budget note somehow designate that there would be a neutral party, because I plan on being back at the next session hearing the report, and I'd like to have that report mean something to me, that it was an outside group that took a hard look at that and came up with a recommendation. So.
Terrific. Thank you. Senator Johnson.
Thank you. I join my colleague and friend, Senator Verger, in looking for an outside review. I think, given the magnitude of this issue and the fact that there has been some pretty robust discussion around it, I think for the comfort of everyone involved, having some neutral third set of eyes take a look at it would perhaps ameliorate against a small increase this time, knowing that there was going to be a neutral review that would yield objective results for consideration by the next session.
Terrific. Senator Westling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I'm just want and remiss if I don't say I have an aversion to budget notes. I don't understand exactly what their purpose is in many cases, except to make people feel good and think they're doing something when in fact they're not. If somebody wants to do an outside independent review, I welcome that. I think that is absolutely the way to go. But I'd have to look at a budget note awfully carefully before I'd be supportive of one. Secondly, with regard to the rate, the agent rate increase issue, I am very empathetic to that. I think the testimony was quite compelling with regard to how well the agents leverage any potential rate increases. But I keep hearing this, a little one now and a bigger one later. This WST feel sip, sip, sip thing, to hell with that. I mean, let's, you know, look at this. Let's do a reasoned rate increase or not. I understand that potentially this budget is going back on the shelf. If there's a we're going to pass it out and it's going to go on the shelf. If there's a constitutional capability of doing a reasoned rate increase, let's look at it. But otherwise, just little bit. I'm opposed to that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other comments? Ken?
Mr. Chair,
we have Senator Johnson.
Let me just ask how that, for my own clarification, how that would work, because I join Senator Westland in having concern about little bitty raises. What would be the mechanism? Were we to pass this budget out of the committee, it'd go to the shelf? What would be the process for determining a raise now or a raise later? I'm just trying to get the timing. Mm-hmm. How thoughtful could the study be to give a raise between passing it out of this committee and the time the whole budget is worked on? I guess I'm looking to Ms. Jordan for some guidance.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I don't know that we could complete a study in between now and the end of session that would give you the kind of information that you're looking for to justify a percent increase in whatever magnitude it is. Unless the agents are able to convince the leadership and members that they've done enough work and have the information that you need to make that decision. There are a couple mechanisms that this could occur in. This budget is passed out of subcommittee and put on the shelf. The co-chairs could direct that it be returned, send it back to the subcommittee for direction to increase the agent's compensation, or they could put something in the end of session bill that would have the same impact. So there are a couple different ways or avenues that could take.
I guess this is a follow-up, Mr. Chair. My concern is, while I certainly see the agents as the frontline sales force of the department, I don't know what methodology would be employed now to decide what a small raise is right now versus the opportunity to do a longer, impartial, third-party analysis that would yield the kind of data that policymakers then could make a thoughtful decision about. And that's my concern. What methodology would we employ to try to figure out a small raise now?
Well, building off of that and gleaning from Senator Westland. You know, I guess I'm of the opinion we ought to determine what's a fair compensation, and you know, based upon an independent review, tie it to some type of factor so it's tied to an inflation factor and be done with this.
You know, I would like to address the fact we're talking about increase, and if you'll notice the sales are going up dramatically. As far as inflation factor, the price of the alcohol has an inherent inflation factor, and so if you're dealing with a percentage, then as the price of the product goes up, the percentage of the income goes up as well.
I didn't mention increase. I said a fair compensation.
Okay. I'm just saying that if we're talking about inflation increase in the percentage, then we're talking about two different ways to increase revenue and decrease revenue to the state.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Avakian.
Although I think what I'm hearing as well is us passing the budget out even today if we wanted to and approving of policy package 157 does not preclude us continuing to have this conversation.
Yes.
And I'm actually more comfortable with us taking that action and then in a more thoughtful way being able to discuss it with the parties outside of this moment.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Carter.
Quite frankly, that is not an appropriate discussion from us. That's a substantive committee conversation that they would have to, because you'd be changing policy.
It's always good to have the experience up at the dais. We have a motion on the table on policy package 157. Any further discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so moved.
Okay, Mr. Chair, the next package is package 203. This is a package that would provide $333,982 expenditure limitation for three full-time liquor license investigator positions. Legislative Fiscal is not recommending the package at this time because it is tied to House Bill 2056, which is a $400 initial licensing fee that would fund these positions. If that bill is passed, it will come. I mean, if it passes out of committee, it'll come down to ways and means, and we can address the issues of how many positions they need with that bill or in the end of session bill.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Move to accept Legislative Analyst Nunn recommendation for policy package 203.
Give me a little bit of 101 here. Why do we do a motion on an action that we're not going to move on?
Mr. Chair, the reason you would do that is because it's currently in the governor's budget, and we would have to take it out of the governor's budget, so you need to
okay.
motion to do that.
We have a motion on policy package 203. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not speaking against the motion. My question relates to the benefits that are anticipated to accrue out of the capital project, the IT project, which is the equivalent of adding FTEs, and how that might relate to the needs demonstrated in the governor's budget with respect to these three positions, if in fact there is a correlation between the two.
Mr. Chair, Senator Morse, I don't believe there is a direct correlation between the two. They're two separate items. But with the technology package, there may be some opportunity to reduce the number of FTE later once the package has been, once the technology package has been implemented.
Follow up?
Well, I'm jumping ahead. I'll wait until we get there. Thank you.
We have a motion on policy package 203. Any further discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so moved.
The next package is package 208, which provides another funds expenditure limitation for overtime payments to provide services to the University of Oregon and Oregon State Sports Program. The two universities are paying the OLCC to provide staff to help control abuses of liquor during their sports activities. And I am recommending approval of that package with a reduction of $138 to reflect the reduction in the PERS rate.
So move with the recommendation, panel.
We have a motion to move policy package 208. Any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so moved.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, package 301 is the technology package that Senator Morse was asking about. This package provides the $3.6 million other funds expenditure limitation and establishes two information service six positions and one IS three position to get this package up and off the ground. Legislative Fiscal is recommending approval with a reduction of $2,261 to reflect the PERS rate reduction. At your place, Senator Morse and Senator Verger had asked for some information relating to the business case or business plan regarding this package, and the agency has provided some supplemental information. I wanted to point out to you that the business case is in your documentation, or the business plan itself, under the tab that says Information Technology Support Services, and on pages 3, page 11 through page 21, the agency has described what the business needs are, what it is that they hope to accomplish, and this additional information, which I've highlighted for you, the highlighting is some of the more concrete actions that implementing this technology package will support. One of those is that the OLCC estimates that inspectors will avoid desk time amounting to statewide equivalent of an additional FTE for the programs, which means that an additional person, the equivalent of additional one FTE in the field doing field work, which is very important to the system. Then licensees will also spend less time waiting for inspectors to respond to them. And on page 2, the agency has gone into some more detail showing that regulatory efficiencies will result in a 16% increase in actual observation responses to complaints, a 5% increase in periodic compliance checks, minor decoy operations, service permit checks, and then turnaround time for licensing will improve from currently it takes anywhere from 90 to 120 days. They're saying that with this package they will be able to license in 60 days, and that in that period of time the cost to businesses who are waiting for license could be anywhere from $1,700 in sales daily to $2,000 a day.
Question.
So I hope that answers, helps you answer your question.
Representative Richardson.
Mr. Chair, is it not the fact that when they file for a license that they get a temporary license or this, so they don't have to necessarily miss all those daily?
That's correct. That, I'm getting a nod from back there.
Please come on up. Please come on up. Introduce yourself for the record.
I'm Teresa Kaiser, the Executive Director of the OLCC. And if I could respond to that. At the present time, we can issue temporary licenses for up to 90 days with a possible 30-day extension on a change of ownership. For new licenses, brand new licenses, we do not have that ability. So that licensee is not opening. 60-day delay, besides the lost jobs, which average about 23 persons per licensee, would also include lost revenue from less opportunity for the sale of liquor from that location.
Any other questions? We still need a motion on this.
Sure, Mr. Chairman. The recommendation from FLNS.
We have a recommendation on policy package 301. Any further discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so moved.
Mr. Chair, there are two budget notes. The first one is the budget note that we discussed earlier for agents' compensation, and it reads that the Oregon Liquor Control Commission is directed to undertake a review of the current payment schedule for liquor agents. The review shall include recommendations for updating the payment schedule to appropriately compensate agents in order to allow agents to upgrade facilities and assure that the agent's compensation is sufficient to provide, along with income from other products sold through the liquor store, the cost of doing business. The OLCC shall report the results of the review to the emergency board no later than December 2006. This is the budget note that has been approved by the co-chairs. I recommend approving this budget note, and then another motion or from the committee to request that the co-chairs amend the budget note to include a third-party review before it goes to full.
Okay, so we're going to take, Senator Johnson.
And I would take that to them.
I was going to make a motion if you're ready for it, Mr. Chair.
Yep, we're going to need two motions here.
Okay. I'm prepared to make both of them.
Okay.
That we approve the budget note as submitted here.
Okay. We have a motion to accept the budget note as submitted here. Any discussion? Any objections?
Well,
questions? Representative,
I do have a question. I'm not sure what your next motion is going to be because that may affect whether or not I want to.
Mr. Chair, may I pull back the curtain on my next motion?
You bet.
Okay.
That we recommend to the co-chairs that the budget note include a third-party review.
Yep. Follow up, Representative Avakian.
Well, I guess it's just a matter of procedure, but if we accept your first motion, then the budget note goes out as it is if the co-chairs don't want to accept our second motion. Is that what the intent is?
Actually, my intent was to try to change the budget note to include the third party, but you've pointed out, I think, very appropriately, the dilemma in doing two motions in the order that LFO had recommended them.
Mr. Chair, if I could, even if the budget note goes out as proposed by the co-chairs and they are unwilling to amend it to include the third-party review, you know, wise and caring people sitting in this audience right now are hearing a very strong message from this committee with regard to the third-party independent review. It is wholly within their purview to do that on their own.
Yeah.
Senator Carter.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Why are we sending a message like this when it appears to me, because they become a private enterprise, independent contractor at that time, I just don't see...
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I have another suggestion. We could also, in the budget report, have some information written into the report that the expectation of the subcommittee is that a third party would be undertaking this review, so that it's clear that the subcommittee expected a third-party independent review along with this budget note, and that would achieve the same result.
Would the committee be okay with that?
I would be happy to withdraw the motion that I made and take a stab at a second motion. And I want to make sure that I understand that we would then approve this budget note with the recommendation from the committee that it would be best undertaken by a third party.
Okay. We have a motion on a budget note regarding agent compensation. Any other comment?
I'd like to explain my objection.
Okay.
My objection will only be in the sense that I think that this can currently be done. And number two, my objection would be that unless our financial crises were to change, for us to put this in a budget note, Margaret Carter will feel a little irresponsible if the our budget climate does not change and we have put this in here, so I would be registering my objection strictly on that basis. Okay.
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, just to clarify,
mm-hmm.
you're not approving a change in the agent's compensation. What you would be approving is that they review it and report the results back to the emergency board during the interim any of the results that would show whether they're being paid an adequate salary or whether there needs to be some changes in the structure of the salary, the compensation,
the range,
or an increase in the average percentage. So you're not putting the financial state in jeopardy of any sort.
We might even recommend lowering the compensation rate.
All
right.
I have another question related to the motion.
Representative Avakian.
And would it be fair to us to assume, too, that our direction for OLCC to begin this process has no fiscal impact?
Mr. Chair and Representative Avakian, I would not make that assumption, that there would be some cost to hire an outside consultant to do this work, whether depending upon what the cost is and whether the agency could absorb that within their budget would have to be discussed with the agency. And if there is a cost that they were not able to absorb, I would expect they'd come to the emergency board in September and request that limitation. But I wouldn't expect it to be, maybe 25,000, somewhere in a smaller range.
Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, interestingly enough, in another meeting where we all were, you and I were this morning, and Senator Morris, I posed a question to the Department of Administrative Services about a rather complicated undertaking to make a business case, looking at a very complex issue. And at that time, Mr. Radford responded that he thought that could be undertaken with interns or doing it with very modest expense. I don't know why this scenario should be any different. I didn't probe Mr. Radford on where these interns would come from, but I'm relatively sure the graduate students somewhere might be available to do this without having to cost the agency a great deal of money.
Thank you. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would speak in favor of an objective evaluation. It's very difficult to make a decision based on anecdotal information. I would recommend that objective evaluation be done in a collaborative manner so that the process and the critical factors that are being considered are in fact issues that the agents have had an opportunity in collaboration with the commission to identify as the key drivers, and then have a third party evaluate that and then present that information. To me, that would be the most beneficial way to come to a conclusion on this issue. But it truly needs to be objective, and it needs to have the stakeholders participate in that process.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Senator Carter.
Couldn't the commission make this decision without the legislature making it?
I didn't hear you, Margaret.
Could not the commission make this decision without legislative direction?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, the commission can undertake any studies or reviews that it chooses, but I think that the agents have felt that they haven't gotten gotten treated the way they ought to be, and so they have sought other remedies to getting this information to the legislature. And because the legislature sets the expenditure limitation, the agency can make a recommendation or put it in a policy package to the legislature. The legislature would have the final say in whether you increase that compensation or not.
We have a motion on the table regarding agent compensation. Any other discussion?
And the motion reads, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. To adopt the budget note with the understanding or expectation that the subcommittee expects a third-party, objective, neutral.
As the maker of the motion, I think the one other piece of it that's very important is the issue raised by Senator Morris that this be a collaborative undertaking. I don't think it can be unilateral. And the agents certainly, as the frontline folks in the agency, will have something substantial by way of information to contribute to the undertaking. So I want to make sure that the motion captures the idea of third-party independent review and collaborative process then reviewed by the third party that includes input from the agents.
Senator Berger.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I just would like to say, while I have the people here in the audience, that while you see sales going up with the OLCC that they manage and you see agents that are doing a good job, it seems to me that sometimes we just need to recognize that within our organization and within our agency and not have to come to subcommittees to say, and have the agents having to plead their case. It would seem to me if you have a good organization and people are doing their job and your sales are rising, you should be a part of wanting to compensate people more. We're all in it together, and I just need to say that.
Terrific. Any last discussion or comments? Well, I hope the Oregon Liquor Control Commission takes to heart the notion of third-party and collaborative approach to reviewing the current payment schedule for liquor agents. Senator Carter?
Are there commission people here?
We do. We have Mr. Lang.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to withdraw my non-support for this. And it is my hope that the commission will work. Oh, there's Phil. The commission will work with the agents and everybody in getting this report done, so that we can quell this as much as we possibly can before we reach some kind of impasse that is not productive for either side. And so I would hope that it is my hope that that will take place, and I will withdraw my objection and support the motion.
Thank you. Senator Westland.
I think it should be pointed out, just this is the most harmonious and collaborative, I guess I'd say, that I've seen the agents and the commissions come before this committee or the other committees that I've sat on over the years. So I didn't want Margaret's comments to reflect in any way that these guys are out here throwing rocks and arrows at each other. I mean, they might be throwing spitwads, but relatively speaking, this is pretty much a love fest compared to what it's been in past years.
I know nothing, folks. I'm just
for the record, she said it.
Just one last time, third-party collaborative. I think that's the message that we've heard here on agent compensation. I'd also ask that a copy of the final study be sent to Ms. Jordan, and make sure that each of us on this committee receive a copy of that. So without any other further objection?
A mild objection. I am objecting.
Senator Westland.
I don't like budget votes.
I got to get a little quicker on the scaffold, don't I? So we're now on review of revenue sharing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The co-chairs have asked for a budget note because it's been some time since a review of the revenue sharing has been made, that the OLCC take a look at revenue sharing. And the budget note reads that after using revenue collections to pay for administrative expenses, agent compensation, and rebates to licensed dispensers that are provided in ORS 472-1107, the OLCC distributes the remainder to state and local governments as prescribed by ORS 471-810 and 473-030. OLCC is directed to convene a work group, including representatives of local government, to review the apportionment of state liquor revenues to cities and counties. The review shall include a determination of how these revenues are used at the local government level, whether there is a correlation between the use of the revenues and purpose for which the revenues are collected, and whether a change in the apportionment formula to increase state revenues is warranted. OLCC shall report the results of the review to the Emergency Board no later than December 2006.
Do we know who brought forward this budget note?
The co-chairs.
Do we know who at the request of?
Senator Schrader and Representative Scott.
Yeah, those are co-chairs.
I think it was their own idea.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. All right. We have a budget note on the table. Any discussion?
So
we have a motion to approve a review of revenue sharing budget note. Any other discussion? Any opposition?
Good. I learned from the best. Mr. Chair, you can make the call as to whether I objected or not.
You were in before the gavel came down. Senator Westland.
No, I'm just objecting.
Oh, we have an objection from Senator Westland. That'll be noted.
I'm not sure it's a bad idea. I just don't like budget notes.
There you go.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, now, with approval of all of those recommendations, I recommend the following changes to House Bill 5048. I recommend approval of the budget bill in the amount of $99,008,460 and 218 positions and 211.27 FTE by on line 10, deleting $37,521,575 and inserting $41,520,356
41 million.
Millions, five, yes. 415203 56. On line 11, deleting $55,037,338 and insert $57,284,338 for agents' compensation. And line 12, there's no change. Lines 13 and 14 to delete the entire section, and then to add a new section to handle the increased compensation to agents resulting from the increased revenue projection through the end of the biennium. That would read, notwithstanding any other law limiting expenditures of the OLCC for the payment of operating expenses of the department from fees, monies, and other revenues, including miscellaneous receipts, but excluding lottery funds and federal funds for the biennium ending June 30th, the limitation on expenditures established by Section 1-2, Chapter 718, Oregon Laws 2003, as modified by the emergency board action, is increased by $222,000. And
we need a motion.
Mr. Chair, I would move the recommended appropriation bill as delineated with by legislative fiscal and approving the budget bill in the amount of $99,008,460 and 218 positions, 211.27 FTE, by approving the following amendments as detailed by legislative fiscal officer.
Thank you. We have a motion. Any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so moved. Mr. Chair, Senator Westland.
Could I ask the committee to allow me to amend my vote on the review of revenue sharing budget note? As I look at that, that is so compelling, I think it's important that I rise above principle and support that budget note.
Any opposition from the committee?
We get
Senator Westland, we will do that. All right.
All right. The next thing that we need to do is look at the performance measures. There is a the next sheet in your packet. There is this form, which is a summary of the agency's performance measures. If you look at the far right-hand corner, there are some that the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending that be added. That is the number of cases of liquor handled daily per FTE. And the next one is an average days from receipt of license application to issuance. The third one is the percent of inventory turnover meeting the target. And percent of customers rating their overall satisfaction with the agency above average or excellent. Percent of customers rating satisfaction with agency services above average or excellent for timeliness, accuracy, helpfulness, expertise, information, and availability. And I would need a motion to approve these unless you have others that you wanted to add.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
I would be prepared to make the motion if I could get a question answered, and that is in the surveys that are relative to customer service. Are agents considered part of that customer base, and would their opinions about timeliness, accuracy, helpfulness, expertise, and information availability be calculated as part of this whole performance measure or separately? Or
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, it all depends on how the agency defines their customer base, but I would assume that that would be, I won't assume, I would guess that they would be part of that.
May we find out?
Mr. Chair, could the agency respond to that?
Yeah.
Chair Smith, members of the committee, at the present time, we have been conducting customer service surveys, and we do survey our agents as well as other stakeholders as part of that survey.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Please.
Do you segregate out the comments from the agents, or are they just combined in the aggregate?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, we can segregate them out. We do segregate them out. We have combined scores. We also have... We break out individually by the group being from whom the information is solicited.
Mr. Chair, I would be very pleased to see a copy of the results segregated out by the agents. That's not going to deter me from making a motion to accept these modifications to their performance measures. But I think before the budget moves through the full ways and means process, I think seeing those detailed customer surveys from the agents would be instructive.
I think the whole committee would like to see that, so perhaps we could get that to Ms. Jordan and we'll pass that along to each of the members. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Goal three, with respect to the annual evaluations that receive an outstanding score by from agents, I'm not sure what that data tells us. And given the historical conflict that seems to exist within that organization between the commission and the administration and the agents, something that had a way of averaging all scores, maybe on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being outstanding, 1 being on the lowest side, so that we can understand really what's happening in the aggregate total within the agent community as opposed to just one number off the top. Mm-hmm. And so I find that to be a goal that could be improved.
How would you like it reworded?
Well, if you use a 1 to 5 ranking, mm-hmm. and then we would be, you'd have a reporting of the aggregate average, and maybe the goal is a 4 for the entire agent community.
Come on back up, Teresa.
Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, we could certainly restructure it like that. I think what we're trying to reach with this performance measure is a quality of the retail experience, and we looked at all different ways of slicing and dicing and trying to measure that. I'm not sure that this is the best we can do. I think we might, with some thoughtfulness, come up with a better measure of that kind of outcome. But we could certainly package it however you'd like to see it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, one of the things that you could do is you could ask them to rework this during the interim and report to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee on a new measure that would be more representative of what it is that you're interested in getting at. So that gives the agency some time to think about ways to accomplish this.
I would agree, Mr. Chair.
Is the committee okay with that? Can you say that one more time for all of us?
What I'm suggesting is that we direct the agency to work on modifying or changing this particular measure, the percent of liquor agent annual evaluations that receive an outstanding score, to more fairly represent what it is that we're trying to accomplish as an agency during the interim, and report to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee on the results.
Okay. Any other comments? I'm struggling with goal number two, and I apologize. When the committee was discussing this, I had to be away at another meeting. Can you come on back up and work with us? On percentage of licensees who refuse to sell to minor decoys, what's the dilemma with increasing that from 73 to perhaps 95%?
Chairman Smith, the review of the scientific literature would indicate that the way that number would be increased is by more frequent minor decoy operations. Our ability to more frequently conduct these operations is tied to the number of staff and other responsibilities that we have.
What about more stringent penalties in the event that you are found selling to a minor?
Mr. Chair, the literature would indicate that it's the frequency of the decoys rather than the penalty that increases compliance. At the present time, we do one per year in each area of the state. A much more frequent conduct, almost once a month, could dramatically improve compliance.
What's the current penalty for selling to a minor?
I'm sorry.
It's only about $3 a gallon.
The first violation is $1,620.
What's the second violation?
$49.50.
Walk me through this. What if I'm a repeat offending store?
This is my regulatory director.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Linda Agnowski. It goes up from $16.50 or a 7-day suspension to $49.50 a 10-day suspension. The third time, it's a mandatory 30-day suspension, and the fourth time is a cancellation.
Okay. Just one more question here on if someone knows they violate this rule four times that they're going to lose, is that over a lifetime?
Mr. Chair, that's over a 2-year period.
It seems like, from my perspective, this committee's been very lenient with the industry in trying to enhance compensation or to at least have that discussion. I would think that the industry ought to be willing to work with us to try and take that from 70 or 73% to a much higher number. In figuring out how to do that, I don't know. I'm not an expert of the industry. But to me, 73% refusing to sell seems like we're missing an awful lot of folks. Seems like there's a lot of adolescents who are still able to perhaps pull it off.
Mr. Chair, I do agree with you. That's a troubling number. If 73% don't, that means 27% do.
And that's
way too high.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to just mention to you that that's the first penalty. We also, last session, the legislature passed a program called the Responsible Vendor Program, which if the licensees maintain the criteria for that, the penalties, it's a different penalty schedule, and it's even lower than that.
One last question that I want to move on is the penalty by rule or by statute?
Mr. Chair, the penalty is by rule.
Thank you. Senator Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would you tell me the percentage of your people that have joined the Responsible Vendor Program?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, out of 9,500 retailer licenses that are available, about 1,800 have joined it.
How many vendors have lost their license as a result of violating?
Mr. Chair, for violation of the sales to minors?
Correct.
I think about 2 or 3.
Out of how many? Out of how many vendors do we have?
There's 9,500. And over the past year since we've started the minor decoy operation since 1997, I think there's a handful that have lost a license based on this.
Well, I think based on 9,500 and only a handful have lost their license, I think you guys are giving a pass to a lot of vendors, and I think that could be tightened in.
Mr. Chair, I would point out that oftentimes an offending vendor, prior to losing their license, disposes of their license by selling to another person. Otherwise, that number would be much higher.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I would point out on behalf of the Commission, every time they sent me out on a sting, they've not only carded me every time, they refused to sell me any alcohol.
Well, I understand the refusing, but the carding part.
They can do that for appearing intoxicated as well as too young.
I think. Since you know he's irresponsible.
So we need a motion to approve the performance measures for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, taking into consideration the request of Senator Morris in terms of working on a better method for Goal 3.
And to
report to the Audit Committee. We have a motion. Any other discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so moved.
Yeah, motion, Mr. Chair, to move the amendments of House Bill 5048 to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I would move the OLCC budget forward to the full committee with amendments with a due pass recommendation.
We have a recommendation. Any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so moved. Any carriers?
I do. Thank you.
On the House side, Representative Avakian, would you carry this?
Excuse me? Oh, I'd be happy to.
Okay. Senator Westland.
At your service.
Would you carry this to the full ways and also to the Senate floor?
Of course. Thank you. But with the budget notes.
With the budget notes.
I will defend them in your honor.
Thank you. Oh, do I need to close that?
Yep. Okay.
Seeing no other business before the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, we will close that work session. And now we are going to open a work session on the Oregon Department of Aviation. We have before us House Bill 5005.
We're going straight to a work session?
Susie, I understand we're going straight to a work session on,
yes.
On this. Yeah.
Right. Good.
Send those out.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what I'm passing out right now is the answers to the questions that came up during the agency's public hearing. For your information, if you'll refer to the memo on that I passed out from Legislative Fiscal, these are the work session documents similar to the ones that we just went through with Oregon Liquor Control Commission. The first item is for technical adjustments to reduce the budget, a total of $14,250. Other funds for the PERS rate reduction and DAS assessment, and it's $12,349 for the PERS rate, $1,901 DAS assessment, and I'd need a motion to approve the technical adjustment.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion on the table to approve the technical adjustment. Any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, sir.
And we'll move to the policy package. The first one is package 102. This is the General Aviation Entitlement Program. This is acknowledging an increase in the amount of federal funds that will be available for this program in the next biennium by increasing the other funds, $178,822, and the federal funds, $3,297,612. And I recommend approval.
We have a motion from Sandra Morris.
Move approval.
Nope. Any discussion? Any opposition? So moved.
Mr. Chair, the second package is package 104. These are the aviation program grants to increase their other fund limitation, 200,000 other funds. Legislative Fiscal is not recommending this package at this time, and the reason is that the primary purpose for use of aviation resources is for acquisition, construction, improvement, maintenance, and operation of airports, and that the agency plans to undertake a master plan, which would give them a better idea of whether or not this is the best use of these resources.
Mr. Chair.
Sandra Johnson.
I guess the comment is this is an incredibly important undertaking, and I don't disagree with LFO's recommendation at this juncture. The agency has a brand new director. I think we have to give some serious consideration to how we look at a study to try to – whoops, I'm sorry. That's what happens when you step outside. You're
we passed on that one.
Okay.
For 104.
You're talking about 106 now.
No, 104.
Four.
104.
Yep.
You're right. I give you bad direction.
Shoot.
I'm sorry.
See what happens when I move away from her?
I know. It's not constant coaching from Senator Westphal.
Really, really bad. I've already moved down to 106.
Well, I just want to make this point for both the committee and the agency, and I think the record of this proceeding. Looking at how we fund better air taxi service in this state is critically important. And there are some folks making their way through the building right now asking for a specific grant to undertake the implementation of a NASA system. I think it's too early to do that, absent some kind of thoughtful review of what do we have right now. And I would rather see the director, new director, get better acquainted with the community that the department serves, feel out what the system needs, to have a little chance to do some research, and then launch into this, I think, extremely important undertaking of looking at air service for small communities. So I didn't want acceptance of the LFO recommendation to in any remote way suggest that I believe this panel doesn't think this is an important undertaking, but it has to be done, I think, in a way that is a little bit more thoughtful than racing in here at this juncture and getting a permission to undertake this kind of a look-see without having the foundation built underneath it.
I'm going to ask Director Hidley to come up really quick. I do not know how this program works, but my hunch is that there's federal dollars tied to these programs. Perhaps I'll turn to the director and to Senator Johnson and say, are we leaving federal dollars on the table by not funding this program?
Chairman Smith, members of the committee, this is a U.S. Department of Transportation grant where we passed out the information the other day where they provide grants to small communities, and they've defined what the criteria for that is, that either have air service that's deficient, they've lost airline service, or they have tickets to certain destinations that are excessively expensive. This is to fund a grant with about 33% local matching dollars to find ways to improve the air service in those communities.
How come we couldn't do the study for 6 months and still have 18 more months to then try and go after these dollars?
Actually, the funding deadline to apply for a grant for this year is about the middle of May. And then this continues on in future years. But if the community wants it, one of these grants this year, they need to apply by, I think it's May 18th.
This wouldn't help them.
Senator Johnson. Okay.
But Mr. Chair, I couldn't be a bigger supporter of this. And once upon a time, my father was one of the founders of Air Oregon that was an airline servicing these little communities before deregulation. But I think that we do a great disservice to little communities to not give them the kind of technical assistance that can emanate from the department to let them know what all is involved in getting air service. Every mayor and city council in every little town in Oregon wants air service. And it is approached in all sorts of different ways by communities, including some of them gathering pools of money from their local businesses. And the jet service comes in and flies to Denver until the $1 million is gone, and then the plane and the money leave at the same time. I think we have to have a systematic plan instead of just encouraging communities to go out. Also, let's assume that we had service in La Grande and built the service up in La Grande and stripped away customers, passengers from Pendleton. Pendleton then loses some of its federal appropriation, would it not?
Yes, it would if they went below a certain number of employment.
Exactly. And so you're making my point that as badly as we need this kind of activity, doing some thoughtful on-the-ground work ahead of time with the technical assistance of the agency is the way to approach this, and to get buy-in from local government that we may need land use changes, that we need fixed-base operators that have cars and fuel and the capability to actually service a system. And I couldn't be more supportive of looking at regional air taxi service, but I want to do it in a thoughtful way. The agency got awfully excited about the possibility of using Sky Taxi in the last session, and Sky Taxi is now bankrupt, leaving folks holding assets, air assets they can't get rid of. So I just think that we have to be thoughtful in how we do this.
Senator Westland.
Just for the record, Mr. Chair, her father was Howard Hughes in the airline. It was Air West.
We need a motion on policy package 104 to accept the co-chair's not recommended position on policy package 104.
So moved.
Any discussion? Any opposition?
LFO's recommendation.
LFO's recommendation. Thank you. Any opposition? Seeing none. So moved.
The next package, Mr. Chair, is 106, Youth Aviation Careers Grant. Legislative Fiscal Office is not recommending this package for the same reasons as 104, because there is note, because of the lack of a master plan to measure, this is the best use for the funds at this time.
Mr. Chair, once again, I think how the department gives money out should be the discussion of the board and the board with the legislature. There was a grant made to the Aviation Hall of Fame last year or 2 years ago that I think caused some concern about process, and I think having the agency have thoughtful process underlying these kind of grants is important, and I would recommend the LFO recommendation on policy option 106.
We have a recommendation on the table for policy package 106 to accept LFO's recommendation to not recommend youth aviation career grants. Any discussion?
I'd like to know, Mr. Chair, where this pool of money is coming from as well, and if it's the same as the other where there's a certain amount of local matching funds to get federal dollars.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is not a federal grant program. This would be entirely funds from the Department of Aviation, the funds that we receive from fuel tax fees and so on.
Any other discussion?
Thank you. Mr. Hidley, I know you've only been here just a short time, but has your board taken this issue up, and are they in the process of creating recommendations or a criteria by which folks can apply to the department?
This issue was discussed at the board meeting prior to my arrival, and currently we're trying to put together a policy on how we would implement this if it was part of our budget. So, yes, the board is supportive of this.
You wouldn't know because you weren't here, but perhaps Mr. Reardon could help us. Did the board have a thoughtful discussion weighing youth activities against, say, perimeter fencing, or youth activities against fixed base operator upgrades, or youth activities against pavement maintenance? Did that discussion occur?
That's your question. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Charlie Reardon, Oregon Aviation Department, State Airports Manager, Senator Johnson. The package was presented to the board as an air service, as a youth aviation initiative to provide grants to nonprofit organizations or schools to support aviation education. And during that process, one of the issues that came up was the process, precisely as you said. The details of once a grant, or how is a grant going to be awarded to a community or a school or a nonprofit organization. After that, they wanted to know who in our office was going to oversee that, and they would also like to know what our performance measures are in the long run. Was it successful or not successful? And then, of course, the question came up, just as the question came up from you, is where does the money come from, and what's it taking, we are limited with our funds, so in order to do something, you have to take away from another project. So lengthy discussions about taking away from construction projects, we did not get into that detail. However, it was going in that direction.
We need a motion on policy package 106.
Mr. Chair, for just the reasons enumerated by Mr. Reardon, that this isn't quite ready for prime time yet, I would move the LFO recommendation to decline this policy option package.
We have a motion on policy package 106. Any further discussion? Any opposition? So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next package is 107, aircraft maintenance. The agency is requesting $46,000 other fund expenditure limitation to replace an engine and propeller in their agency aircraft. I'm not recommending it at this time, would recommend that the agency be directed to undertake a cost-benefit analysis of maintaining ownership of the aircraft compared to the cost to charter from the private market and report to the emergency board during the interim the results. If the cost-benefit analysis demonstrates a benefit of maintaining ownership of the aircraft, the agency can request an increase in expenditure limitation. The agency reported that they used this, the last year they've used the aircraft 100 hours. They have many more hours to go before they actually would have to overhaul the engine and can make it through the biennium even if they use the airplane more. Without this expenditure limitation, and they need to take a look at whether or not maintaining this aircraft is of benefit to the state.
Mr. Chair, for all the reasons detailed by the legislative fiscal officer, I recommend the LFO recommendation on, I move the LFO recommendation on policy option package 107.
We have a motion to move, or to not move policy package 107, or excuse me, on policy package 107 to accept the recommendation of LFO to not recommend the aircraft maintenance. Representative Avakian.
Thank you. And I have a question for the department. The if hypothetically you were to move to some type of a charter arrangement, would this expenditure need to be made in order to make this plane marketable so that you could get rid of it?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the aircraft has about 260 hours left to go on the engine before it would be time for the overhaul out of a 1,600-hour engine, so it's over a year away. And a large part of the value of an airplane is how many hours are left on it before the overhaul. It's pretty close to dollar per dollar. So if the engine was overhauled, it would have a lot more value to the airplane if we were to sell it than it would be if it was run out.
Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am in total agreement with the evaluation component if all we're getting is 100 hours out of the plane. But I'm just wondering, why are we approving maintenance? It seems strange if you have an agency that has equipment that maintenance cost in those intervals, particularly in something like aircraft that's as regimented as it is.
Good question.
Why is that coming to us?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, the expenditure limitation is coming to you. The agency doesn't have money in their current level budget, their essential base budget, to make this kind of an expenditure on maintaining this aircraft. And so they had to put together a policy package to increase their budget in the amount that they expected the cost of that maintenance to occur, I mean to cost. And that's why you're getting it. And when I looked at it, I looked at why do we have an airplane at all?
And I agree. And in fact, in this context, I'd say get rid of the plane. If we've got to micromanage the agency and approve maintenance expenditures.
Yeah, because that's going to be my question. But Dan's hands up first, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wessler.
But just a cursory question. What type of aircraft is it?
This is a Cessna 206.
Senator Carter.
Can you tell me, sir, in what capacity you need this plane as a means of transportation?
Well, we have this, the State Aviation Department owns and maintains 28 airplanes across the state.
28 airports.
What did I say?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm thinking the wrong thing. 28 airports across the state. And we routinely go there to inspect those airports and also to perform maintenance. And that's the primary purpose of the airplane is to go to those airports. And it really is a big time saver. You can do in one day with the airplane, it would take several days driving around the state. And quite often, time is of the essence. If we have an incident happen at an airport, we need to get there right away to fix the problem before the airport can be open again for other airplanes to land there.
Senator Carter, follow up.
May I ask Senator Johnson a question? Senator Johnson, why wouldn't we want to have an airplane for them to, for efficiencies?
This has been a question that has plagued the agency for an awfully long time. The issue being that if this agency is charged with leading advocacy for the use of airports, was it or was it not appropriate to have an airplane? Was it appropriate or not appropriate to have an airplane to do inspections to make sure that the airports were safe? Was it appropriate to have an airplane to fly into these rugged and remote fields that we own in some cases? So the debate has been going on for a long time. When I ran the agency, we were not in the same fiscally constrained environment that we exist in now, and the argument was persuasive at that time, particularly as users of the system came to the agency and said we need a plane, that there be a plane there. I'm not sure that there ever has been, though, a thoughtful cost analysis of the use of the airplane. whether or not you could service those rugged remote airports by chartering or borrowing from another state agency. I'm not sure whether or not there has been a thoughtful analysis of the amount of training versus the actual amount of airport inspection that is done with the airplane. It really is a philosophical question of should the aviation agency have a plane to service its system of airports, or could for some period of time those services be bought or rented someplace else?
Mrs. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Carter.
Just look at the metal mind's eye, and I know nothing about this other than the fact that it's been before me all these years, and I never thought about this one way or the other. But it appeared to me as I was trying to find all these little airports I saw here that by the time they would spend days going around to how many, 70-some-odd airports, that it would seem to be more efficient to have an airplane. But I would be interested in you coming back with showing that cost differential and showing, you know, how much, what a time saver. It's like technology, you know. It's what kind of time saver it would be for you to have to drive to these different remote areas and showing why it would be less expensive for you to have an airplane and you'd spend less days in the field if you had an airplane versus if you were using a car.
Okay. Senator Carter, one of the state's airports, unless things have changed dramatically since I was at the agency, you cannot walk into or drive into.
See?
Airplane's the only way to get to that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
From my perspective, committee,
is that Red Horse Ranch?
I would defer to Senator Johnson on this issue and where she sees us needing to go.
I've moved the package. I think there's plenty of opportunity for the agency to come back to the legislature, whether it's to the e-board or to the next session, and make a case for or against the airplane.
Yeah. And substantive committee, there's nothing we could do in this committee other than the money part of it anyway. But take it in enough time to a substantive committee to further discuss, because it, to me, just listening to the conversation, it makes sense.
Can I go ahead, Mr. Chair?
No question.
Yeah. I just want to loop us back to the policy package, which is just about whether or not you're going to fix this engine or not, or when you're going to do it. If you'd spent the $46,000 and rebuilt the engine, and then within the next year decided to sell the plane, would you have increased the value of the plane by more than $46,000 so that it was worth the expenditure?
It wouldn't be increased by more than 46, but it will be substantially more. Maybe two-thirds or three-quarters of that money you would get back when you sold it. It's very undesirable to buy an airplane with a run-on engine. With a new engine, it's very desirable. It'd be a lot easier to market the airplane if we were to sell it.
Okay.
But we're probably a year away before that has to happen anyway,
right,
before the engine's run out.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
Who's doing the agency's maintenance now?
What's the name of the FBO?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson, the company that does the maintenance is the gentleman. His name is Chuck down the, I don't know his last name, but I think it's under Salem Air Center, is the fixed base operation that does it.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Please.
Do you put that out for bid, or is that just a deal negotiated on the ramp?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson, the maintenance that I have done, actually, I haven't done any maintenance to the aircraft since I've been with the agency. It was a previous pilot who ran all of those operations. And since I have been with the, since that person has left, there has been no maintenance work done on that aircraft. So I'm sorry, I can't answer that question.
Mr. Chair, I would ask that when the agency comes back, that they have some kind of a status report with respect to not just the engine and the prop, but the how up to speed the maintenance is, period.
Okay. Really quick, we want to ask a question about the organization, the organizational chart in, per se. One of the analysis, I don't know if Richardson can take the lead on this.
Okay, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hebe, I'm looking at the picture report dealing with staff and classifications. And we have a total of 16 employees, five of which are managers. And so, I mean, that's one to two management to staff ratio, and I'm looking at your organizational chart to see what justification there is, because, of course, as you have more managers, there's additional costs involved with those classifications. And as I look at the organizational chart, you know, I see that we've got the state airport manager who's over the Aurora Independent State Airport manager who's over two people. And so you're new in this, but I'm just wondering if you have looked at the designations and whether or not it is appropriate to have a kind of a top-heavy management a designation for the amount of staff that you have.
I'm working with human resources now on this, and there's a page in the packet that I gave you that explains a little bit more about it, if I can find it here. Let's see, where is it? Have you read this memo yet? It's just in front of the affirmative action section of the packet.
No, I have not. We received this today in committee, right?
Well, it looks like, yeah, you've sent us a letter addressing that issue. Why don't we will read that as a committee. If we have any other questions, we'll go back to it. We have before us policy package 107, aircraft maintenance. I believe Senator Johnson has made a motion.
To accept the LFO recommendation, Mr. Chair.
Any?
With the caveat that when the agency reports back to the legislature, they have a cost-benefit analysis of keeping the aircraft and a status report on current maintenance.
Any other discussion on that? Any opposition? See none. So moved. Sorry, I took you to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With the approval of those policy packages, I recommend that you approve the operating budget in the amount of $17,124,161 and 16 FTE by approving the following amendments in House Bill 5005. In line 10, delete $6,479,946 and insert $6,020,007. In line 11, delete $107,623 and insert $107,312. No change in line 12 and no change in line 18 or 19. So we need a motion to approve the amendment to House Bill 5005.
Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion to move House Bill 5005 as presented by legislative analysis. Any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so moved.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now I would direct your attention to the yellow page, which is the agency's performance measures, and to the far right-hand corner where I have recommended adding some performance measures. One is the number of days between receipt of grant application and grant award. The second one is the number of days between receipt of invoice on grant reimbursement requests and payment, and then the two customer service measures that are being added to all agencies. There was also some discussion in the subcommittee public hearing about improving the performance measures to be for a better match to the mission, and I'd recommend that the agency work on that during the interim and provide a report to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee.
I have a question first, Chair. Goal one, these are the state-owned airports. I sell.
Do you have the goals?
Yes, that's correct.
As you're looking that up, if that assumption is correct, do all these airports merit having lighting and navigational aid systems?
Some do and some don't, depending on the size of the airport and the use of them. Several airports will never for a long time, and they would not require lights or navigation aids. They're just small landing strips that are in rural areas that we've inherited from the past.
So then on goal number one, then, looking at percent of airports meeting lighting and navigational aid standards, would that be 85% of those that merit lighting and navigational aid?
I believe that's true, yes.
Senator Johnson? I'm sorry, you had a question earlier.
Oh, I'll come back to it when you finish on this line.
Any other questions on the performance measures? Senator Johnson?
During some of the hearings where we have been looking at budgets, Senator Morris and I have had an interest, and I know others have joined us, in having sort of the best business practices piece put in. And this perhaps is a question to Ms. Jordan. I don't know whether or not the best business practices piece got lost back in LFO, or whether or not we could add the board engagement, signing off on the legislative package, review of the agency budget, the things that we had been enumerating in other committees, and I would be perfectly happy to go ahead and act on these with the possibility of adding those best business practices, best business practice measure with respect to their board, unless there's something that is unknown to me about the co-chair's attitude towards adding that best business practices.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I'm not aware of any of the co-chair's direction on those at all, and if that's the committee's will, I don't think that's a problem either.
This has been a little package of...
We did discuss.
Okay.
And in the committee, and I didn't hear any opposition.
Okay. Then with the chair's permission, we can more fully develop that language, but it's just best business practices with respect to the engagement of the aviation board and the management of the agency.
And with that, do you feel comfortable with the rest of the proposed
measures?
Yes, I
do.
Comfortable enough to give us a motion?
I would move the adoption of the Oregon Department of Aviation performance measures for 2005-2007 with the addition of a best business practices with respect to their interaction with their board.
We have a motion on the table. Any discussion? Any discussion? So moved. Any carriers?
We're not moving it out of committee today, so you can...
Can we assign him for the future?
You can.
Okay. Senator Johnson?
You bet.
Senate? If you click for which one wants it. Representative Richardson.
Take this one.
Okay. And who's for who?
Senator Johnson.
You know, I have one thing.
We'll end the floor when it comes.
Representative Apakian.
You know, I thought it was an interesting discussion today regarding the policy packages, and what it appears to me is that because two of these were rejected because they appeared beyond the scope of the mission or the responsibilities of the department, and it just makes me wonder either whether these need to be honed more clearly to what your current mission or scope is, or whether or not maybe we need you to come back with an administrative rule or a new statute or something that you think is appropriate for the scope of your department next time you come before us.
Senator Johnson.
I think that is completely appropriate, but I would submit, and I've talked to Mr. Hidley about this, some effort on the part of the agency to get back out and reconnect with their customers, and I think to try to ascertain what direction would users of Oregon's aviation system give you with respect to youth activities versus the other capital improvements that you might be able to make at airports, and what your processes are for evaluating any of these kind of grants. It's been a while since the agency head's been out in the field, and it would be my recommendation to quickly get out and begin to reconnect with your customers.
The last comment I have is we made mention today that we're going to be looking to put together a plan to determine the best mechanism for moving the department forward in terms of working with its partners and determining where the need is. At some point, committee, we're going to need to help think where we're going to find the money to put that plan together. And I think several ideas have floated about Connect Oregon and a couple others, but at some point, we do need to have that discussion if that's the direction we're going to ask them to go. So. Seeing nothing else before us today, I guess we will
Good job.